prayer, Lord. We thank you for this day, Lord. Lord, we thank you that that Jeff was able to get to the hospital when he needed to get to the hospital, Lord. And that you had the people there with the skill and the ability that you've given them to take care of him. And Lord, we ask you to just strengthen Jewel and Allie and Jeffrey. And Lord, I ask you to even heal wounds in that family that get in the way. Because at the end of the day, none of that stuff really matters. So Lord, just bring a healing there, not only to Jeff, but to the whole family. We know you're able to do that, Lord. And we know it's your desire to do that. So Lord, just get everybody else in line to do that. You have that ability too, Lord. Lord, I ask you to speak through me today. I thank you for speaking to me, and we just give you all the praise and glory. Amen. Yeah, Mike, you said you were 39 years yesterday. So you guys got married in the same year that me and Joey started going together, because we've been together for 39 years. And we've been married for 32, like Dad said, and that's 11,680 days that I've been married to my best friend. A lot of times I just like to tell you what's going on with us. Parker is busy with his job up at Wright State. He's doing well. He keeps himself busy. He cares a lot about the school and that program up there, and he gives a lot to it. This past year he was named Employee of the Year or whatever for his level of employee, which, so at least they're recognizing the fact that he's putting in the effort and trying to make things better. Jackson started a new job a couple days a week, and he's getting ready to start it full time, where he's working at a school for autistic kids, and I think he's supposed to like help them manage the learning plan that they have for each kid or whatever, however it is, what age group or whatever. And that's good. That's Jack getting started on real life right there. And that's good. Holden is busy with school, which is not easy, I'm sure. And he works quite a bit, which is tough. But he was named after a rugged individual,
yes,
named Junior Holden. And his other grandfather, John, he dropped out of school in the sixth grade, I think it was, and went to work in coal mines. So he's built for it. So as tough as it is at times, I know he can do it. And Sam is learning to drive. If you see one of my cars on the road and you don't see me or Joey behind the wheel, just be cautious. School's going fine for him. He's a pretty good driver. I'll give it to him. He's learning. He's got a long way to go, but got to get in, 50-something hours nowadays before you get your license? But he's doing okay. He's doing fine in school. He's going to play volleyball for a club this fall. And it starts in about 2 weeks. And it involves quite a bit of traveling. So there's going to be some weeks where we're not here for a few months. But we'll be here the weeks that we can be here for sure. So just remember us as we travel a little bit. And that we just have a good time with that. And it is a good time, you know. Now, you know, if I was to label myself, I would label myself as a summertime person. I love the summer. I love hot weather. I love the things you can do in the hot weather. It just suits me better. Of course, I like there to be air conditioning when I'm ready to go in the house, but I enjoy all the stuff you can do out when it's hot. And I guess you could say fall is my second favorite season. Okay, and that's where we find ourselves right now. I have my fall shirt on this morning. It's flannel. Keeps me warm. And you know, as I drive around, I see a lot of elaborate decorations in people's yards in the fall. You know, when I was a kid, you saw some pumpkins. Occasionally you saw a skeleton or something out in somebody's yard. But nowadays I drive around and I see 12-foot tall skeletons standing in people's yards. And then down the street here, there's a house that has this huge skull sitting on the ground and an arm coming out of the ground looking like it's climbing up out of the ground. And it's just like, I guess bigger is better. When I was a kid, I don't know what I would have thought about seeing something like that when I was real little. But, you know, people definitely get more into it nowadays than they used to when I was younger. Now, I saw a story a couple weeks ago on the CBS Sunday Morning Show, which I watch. I tape it, and I don't always watch it. I like to tape it because then if I don't care about the stories they're showing, I can just fast forward through it. But over the years, God spoke to me a lot in some of the stories that are on there. And I've told you in the past that, you know, sometimes I'll either read something or see something or hear something and it kind of flag goes up and I know I'm supposed to pay attention. And that happened when I saw this story. So I'm going to tell you it real quick. There's a man named Bill Pyle. And he lives in Oxford, Ohio, which is, 25 minutes from here? Right on the way to Miami University. And he has a yard full of skeletons in his yard. And they're posed in all kinds of scenes. He's got the skeletons raising the flag at Iwo Jima. He's got two skeletons taking a selfie with a cell phone in their hand. He's got just all kind of crazy things, you know, a skeleton guy walking a skeleton dog and just stuff like that. And he said that, I guess he's been doing it for a while, but he said he was really thinking about scaling back his display because he gets hate mail every year from people telling him that he's a devil worshiper and he's evil and he's all these different things, you know. And he basically said, you know, it's just not, I dread going to my mailbox because of the hate mail that I get from my skeletons in my yard. Then he got a letter from Tammy Wyhe, was her name. She's a breast cancer patient who drove past his house daily on her way to get radiation treatment. And you know, the display could seem unsettling or morbid, especially to someone in a battle for her life, facing her own mortality. Tammy wrote to him, she said, "The Bone family and what they are up to was a highlight of my journey every day." And she said that her last day of treatment was coming up, and she was thankful for this daily diversion as she made her way there. And Bill said he cried when he read her letter. And he knew what he had to do. So he said he worked through the night. So when Tammy drove by on her way for her last treatment, she saw cheerleader skeletons and skeletons holding signs that read, "You did great. Way to go, Tammy. Never give up. You got this." Last day of treatment, 9/11/24. Now those former strangers are now friends who talk all the time. And Bill says the skeletons are staying up. He says they're staying up year-round. I don't know if I'd go that far, but okay, Bill. You know, I was trying to tell Joe about that story the other day, and I did just what I was doing here now. It made me cry. You know, God loves us so much, and he knows just what we need, just when we need it. That goes for Bill and for Tammy. So, I knew I was supposed to pay attention when I saw that story, and I started thinking about all of that. So, I've got 9 bone facts for you this morning. Okay? If that's okay. So, fact number one is that babies have about 300 bones when they're born. They have about 300. Fact number two, as we grow, some of these 300 bones fuse together until we end up with, do they want to know how many bones we have? 206. So we go from 300 to 206. That's what most adults have. Fact number three, bones gain density until you turn 30. Then density starts to decline unless you get enough exercise, calcium, vitamin A, vitamin K, and vitamin D. So that whole over the hill at 30, I guess maybe that's kind of where that's coming from, because after 30, you better start doing some stuff to keep yourself healthier. So fact number four, when you break a bone, blood vessels form in the area almost immediately afterwards. And that's to help the healing process begin. Within 21 days, collagen forms to harden and hold the broken pieces in place. The damaged surfaces knit together to form new bone. The new bone is often stronger than the original bone. When Sam was little, he broke his ankle in the driveway playing basketball, and it healed, and the doctor said, this ankle will probably be stronger than the other one going forward. And I think he said normally if he kind of rolls his ankle or something, it's not that one, it's the other one. So, and you know, collagen, which is said, you know, I told you 21 days after the break, collagen forms. Collagen is the most abundant protein in the body. It is made up of amino acids. It provides structure and support to the body's connective tissues, bones, muscles, tendons, ligaments, skin, organs, blood vessels, and intestinal lining. That's what collagen is. Fact number five, the femur is the longest, strongest bone in our body. That's your thigh bone. Fact number six, the stapes is the smallest, most fragile bone in our body. It's about an eighth of an inch long, and it's shaped like a stirrup from a saddle. So it comes down, goes around like that, and then has a bottom to it. And it's about an eighth of an inch long, which is pretty short. Fact number 7, we have 54 bones in our hands, fingers, and wrists, 27 in each one. And Randy, when you said this morning your hands were hurting, brother, I feel you. And I think, going on the same thing that my mom has going on. My thumbs absolutely kill me. They ache all around the joint. I use my fingers every day to adjust, to chuck stuff, to adjust stuff. And it's not that easy some days. It really is. They told me, oh, well, we can put a fake joint in there for you. I'm like, great, I want a fake thumb joint. So I feel you. Yeah. Right. Okay. Fact number 8. I thought this was pretty interesting. I definitely had never heard this. It said the collagen in bones constantly replenishes itself. So about every 7 years, you essentially have a new skeleton, which I thought was interesting. And I was thinking, there's some people in here who then have had 10 or 11 skeletons over time. Maybe even more. I don't want to do the math, but 12, maybe 13. And fact number 9, our bones help us move, protect our brain, heart, and lungs, but they also manufacture blood cells. And they store and regulate minerals to help your entire system function. So I want to thank the Cleveland Clinic for my bone facts. That's where I got them from. And I'm 54 years old. And as of today, I have never broken a bone. I had really bad pain before I had my knee replacement. My tibia, the bottom bone in your leg, had a bunch of stress fractures in it from my femur pushing down on it with no cartilage in there. And so I know exactly what my boss is going through. He keeps coming and asking me questions about different parts of before I had surgery and what I went through. And I mean, we're each different, you know what I mean? But I've had no broken bones to this point. You know, I am a child of the 70s, and when I hear the word bones, first thing I think of is, exactly, Dr. Bones McCoy from Star Trek, TV show, you know. We didn't really watch Star Trek that much when I was a kid. My cousin absolutely loved Star Trek. He had T-shirts with the thing on it, or his mom made him shirts with the thing on it, I believe, my Aunt Sandra, whatever. But they were big into all that stuff. And then I remember when I was a kid, and I'm not sure exactly how old I was, and I think you've heard him talk about it before, but my dad broke his ankle on his motorcycle. And I was on the back of it, and we were riding up and down the street. I think I was standing at the driveway holding my thumb out like I was hitchhiking. He picked me up, drove me down to the bottom of the street. We turned around, he started going back up, and he could tell us exactly what happened, but somehow it got a little bit like bound up or something. And when he gave it gas, we went straight up in the air, popped the wheelie, and fell over, right? And it landed on his ankle and broke his ankle. Now, I don't think he was going Evel Knievel on us, but something happened, and we went up, and you know, that was a pretty traumatic thing in my life at that point in time. To see my dad laying there in the street and stuff oozing out of his ankle, it punctured like a hole in there, and it was pretty nasty, you know. And I don't remember how old I was. You know how old you were when that happened? Yeah, I don't remember. Yeah. It's one of those, you know, when you're a kid and things happen, you remember different parts of it. I believe my sister was staying at, or was at her friend Mimi's house or something, and me and Mom had to try to go get her or something, or I don't, you know, it's just a lot of stuff went on that day. And I'm pretty sure I have this right. That wasn't that right after you guys had won some kind of a tournament in softball, and my Uncle Richard had come over to the house with the trophy, and there was a picture of my dad and my Uncle Richard before this happened. And anytime I've ever seen that picture, my dad looks exhausted. And I think he needed a rest. Physically, and I believe spiritually, and I think God provided one for him. Now, this may sound silly, but the other thing I think of when I think about bones, and like I told you, I was born in the 70s, so that's kind of where I'm coming from, was Evel Knievel. You know, the stunt man. His real name was Robert Craig Knievel. And I never really knew why his name was Evel Knievel. Apparently wasn't a very great guy anyway, but he had gotten arrested, I think for having a car chase. He was from Butte, Montana. And he was in the jail, and the jailer came through to make roll call, and the guy in the cell next to him's name was William Knoffel. And the cop called him Awful Knoffel. So when he got to Robert Knievel, he called him Evel Knievel. And he ran with it. He spelled it E-V-E-L because it rhymed with his last name. So every boy in the 70s was amazed by Evel Knievel. He jumped over the fountain at Caesar's Palace on a motorcycle. He made it. When he landed, not so good. He crashed. He flew over the handlebars. He rolled across the parking lot like a rag doll. He crushed his pelvis, his femur, fractured his hip, his wrist, and both ankles. And he had a concussion after that one. I think some people watched him just to see if he was going to kill himself more than whether he was going to make it or not. When I was a kid, they had a bicycle that looked like his motorcycle. I remember there was a kid who came to stay with his family on our street, and he had one, and I thought that was the coolest thing I'd ever seen because it had like fairing like a motorcycle, and they had a crank up motorcycle with Evel on it that you would crank and then it would take off and it would do a wheelie and go down the thing. And he jumped over the Snake Canyon River in some kind of a rocket car thing that was setting up on a big angle. He didn't make it. He went up and it went like straight back down. No, that one I don't think he did, because he had a parachute. He had a parachute, yeah. But he would get himself hurt in these jumps, and then he would say, I'm retired. I'm not doing this no more. And then he would do it again. Well, he tried to jump a bunch of double-decker buses in London, and he wrecked. And through pain and tears to the reporters, he said, I'm retired. I'm never doing this again. Well, in 1975, on October the 25th, at Kings Island in their parking lot, he jumped over 14 Greyhound buses. That was the year Kings Island opened. And, you know, because the world that I grew up in was so different than today's world, you know, no internet, no Instagram, no Twitter, no, none of that. News traveled a lot slower, as you all know. But every kid knew about Evel Knievel from watching Wide World of Sports on Sunday afternoon, which is when they would show the things that he was doing. And when he jumped over those buses in Kings Island parking lot, 52% of the homes in the United States were watching it on TV. That's a lot. And I can remember as a kid hearing, oh, he's broke every bone in his body at least once. Well, no, he hasn't broken every bone in his body. But he has apparently broken like 35 different bones when he was in his time. So he always comes to mind when I hear of someone breaking a bone. I immediately just think of him because he's a part of my childhood, and that's just something that stuck in my head all those years. It's not important. It's just kind of something that my mind started to think about. Now in Genesis 1:26, it says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness." And then in chapter 1, verse 27, it says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them." And then in Genesis 2:18-23, it says, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever and whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an helpmeet for him." So I want to pause right there for just a second. I use Genesis 2:18 in weddings when I do it a lot. Because if you look at that phrase, helpmeet for him, that's kind of a weird phrase. But what it means, if you look at it, it means someone to stand boldly opposite you in every situation, as in sharing the weight, being on the other side of every situation. So God's saying here that he made all these creatures and none of them did that for Adam. You can have a dog and you can love your dog to death and your dog can love you, but it's not the same as having a husband or a wife. It's not. "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord had created, that the Lord had taken from man, made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man..." Oh, that's where I'm stopping. So right here in Genesis 2, this is the first use of the word bone in Scripture. In verse 23, when Adam says of Eve, "This is now bone of my bones." So the first use of the word bone refers to a shared lineage. So God created man in his own image, starting with Adam, like he said. And then he sent Jesus to earth in the form of a man. He was flesh and bone. So I think it's okay if I tell you that we are bone of God's bone. Now, does God have bones? Does he need bones? If there are bones, he created them. I don't know. It's all on how you want to think about it. Do I need to think of an actual God in the form of a body? No, I don't really. but that's okay if you do, you know, whatever. Just as Eve was bone of Adam's bone, we are bone of God's bone. So can we truly grasp what that means? Remember bone fact number 9? Bones provide foundation and strength for our bodies. But they are also the source of our blood cells. They store and regulate minerals to help our entire system function. So to be bone of God's bone, He is our foundation and our strength for our bodies. Could you ask for anything more than that? He is our source of blood, that daily life-giving fuel that we all need. Without blood, we're dead. Without God's shed blood for us, we're dead. He stores and regulates minerals that help our entire system function. Minerals like faith, grace, humility, forgiveness, confidence, encouragement, correction. We could just keep going on and on with all the minerals that He stores and regulates inside of us. Now, I don't believe it's a coincidence that the femur is the largest, strongest bone in our body. It's crucial for standing and walking. Because of God's strength in our bones, we can stand and walk. And we can surely handle heavy weights. Now, I also don't believe that it's a coincidence that the smallest, most fragile bone in our body is the stapes bone in your ear, your inner ear. And it's crucial for your hearing. The stapes transmits sound vibrations into the inner ear. Hearing God's voice is a very fragile, delicate discipline. But He has equipped us to do it. This made me think of Watchman Nee's book, Sit, Walk, Stand. If you've never read that book, you ought to read it. It's a great book. Watchman Nee was a minister in China. He went to prison many, many times for his preaching and teaching and writing, and he didn't care. So in that book, it says, a lot of times people get the order wrong of what we're supposed to do. But he says we're first supposed to sit and listen. We're supposed to listen. We're supposed to listen. And then we are to walk out the truth that we have heard as we sat. And only then are we able to stand against anything that comes our way. Remember bone fact number 3, after 30 years old, the bone density starts to decrease unless you get exercise and enough calcium and vitamins A, K, and D. Proverbs 14:30 says, "A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones." And when I read that rottenness of the bones, you know, I've told you too many times that I'm a baseball lover, you know, and that immediately made me think of Dave Dravecki. Dave Dravecki was a pitcher who got cancer in his pitching arm, and he went through treatment, and he made a comeback, and so many pitches into his comeback game, I believe it was, he threw a ball, and his arm just snapped. And he was in horrible pain. He ended up losing his arm. So when I thought of a rottenness of bone, that's kind of what came to my mind. You know, the cancer that was in his arm had obviously eaten away at the core of his bone to where his arm wouldn't take throwing a baseball. So I was thinking about that. Envy, but envy, the rottenness of the bone. You know, what is envy? We all have it at times. You know, we can't deny it. We do. Envy is us telling God we aren't satisfied with his plan and that we know better than he does. Envy and the attitude that fosters it are addressed in Ecclesiastes 11:5. It says, "As thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all." You know, we don't really know how those bones grow in a baby. That's one of God's miracles right there. And we also don't know why the things that we go through and happen to us, but God has a plan. And it gets us exactly where he wants us to be. Now, envy is not one of the minerals that our system needs to function. God has a plan and knows exactly what he's doing. So I want to close with you know, we've been talking about bones, we've been talking about anniversaries. This just happens to be, God does all things well. This is where I was supposed to close. Ephesians 5, 25 to 32. It says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it." That's a hard word to say. "Even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones." "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." You know, there in verse 30, I think it lets me know I was right before what I said, because it says, "For we are all members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones." We are bone of God's bone. We are part of his lineage. That's all I have for you. So let's close in prayer. Lord, we thank you that your ways are so much higher than what we can understand. The things that you do, if we'll stop and think about them, they're the most incredible things that have ever been done on this earth. I think we sometimes lose track of that. Lord, I thank you that we are in the direct line from you. We are bone of your bone, Lord. Lord, I thank you for your love and your care for us. And Lord, just help us to nourish our bodies in the ways that we need to nourish our bodies to be healthy and to be whole. I thank you for your words. I thank you for my family here. I ask you to keep your hand of mercy and protection on each one. I ask you to meet needs. And Lord, we'll just give you the thanks and the praise for all of it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.